Hey, and welcome to another episode of The Unwind, where we talk about everything games and tech, coming to you from the average everyday consumer. I am your favorite Windows fanboy, Rob Steller.
Josiah Hales here.
And I'm Sean Thomas.
All right, what do we got going? We got a lot to talk about today.
So I think the first thing on deck, we got to talk about all the Xbox rumors, everything relating to that. So first,
Definitely.
Microsoft recently announced that they're going to have their event unveiling the next Xbox. I don't think they have a name for it yet, but they're going to do it in May. And apparently, a number of rumors have been confirmed. One of them being the always-on functionality, which is really big controversial point that a lot of people have been arguing about, seeing whether or not this is something they need, whether it's kind of almost overreach. And so we're going to talk about it. So what do you think, Rob?
Why don't you just explain it a little bit? So, what does this mean exactly that it's going to be always on or always connected?
Well, essentially, when you have your Xbox on, it has to be connected to the internet for it to basically do anything. As far as I know, if you want to play a game, now they haven't clarified all of this yet, but their basic understanding right now is if you want to play a game, if you want to use Netflix, I mean, well, obviously you need the internet for that, but if you want to use your Xbox at all, you have to be able to connect to the internet. It's almost like the way Diablo worked and or Diablo 3 worked, and to some extent StarCraft 2, where you can't, like, if you go offline, you can't use the software. And this is a big problem with a lot of people because there are a lot of different reasons why this could become an issue. One of them being there are certain countries that don't have great internet connections, and they're either slow or they're inconsistent. So for those players, I mean, what if the internet goes out? What are they going to do? They have this, $500, $600 console, and they can't do anything with it. So there's the problem there. Secondly, there's just the nuisance factor. Some people don't want to have to be connected to the internet at all times to do that. And I think those are some of the biggest sticking points. And a lot of people were asking, why? What's the added value to keeping it always on? And so that's the thing, I think, that's the thing Microsoft really needs to sell to customers, because I think this is something that people might take actually seriously. We'll see. But I think that's something they have to really figure out.
So, I mean, I think it's just like all DRM titles now where it's going to prevent a lot of hackers and modders in order to burn games, right? Because, I mean, right now,
Well,
I'll be
hopefully.
honest. Well, I'll be honest. Like, I have my 360 that I hacked and modded so that I could play burned games. And I will say, I do, I'm good about buying the games that I actually spend time playing in, but it's a way for me to try. So, one of the interesting things that they said that they're going to, well, the Sony press conference, which was what, like 2 months ago now?
Yeah,
They,
just about, yeah.
yeah, so they came out and said that you're going to be able to try every single game before you buy it now, and that's kind of a big thing. So that now you can play, it'll be, oh, you can play the first half an hour of the game, or there's a certain
Yeah.
demo level or whatever it is that you can play before you buy it, which I think is big because I mean $60 for most of these games is not very cheap. Although I guess we're all used to paying it now, but for,
Well, they
especially,
had demos before. I mean, that's not.
yeah, but I don't think that's as big now. I don't think, I mean, that's primarily the reason why I modded the Xbox, so I could figure out which games I wanted to play without dropping down $60.
You don't think most of them have demos? Like on your PS3, did you? I mean, I
Some of
admittedly,
them
I don't
do.
own
Some of them
either,
do.
so.
Yeah, some of them do.
When I first heard this, I think I had the gut reaction of that's a terrible idea. But the more I think of it, at least in the area I'm living in, my internet connection is just about as reliable as my power is,
Yeah.
I was also thinking like, well, I might not want to be connected if I just wanted to watch a quick DVD or something, like if I was using it for a media center. But I think later on we're going to do a top five wanted list for next gen features, and I don't really care to have an optical media on the next gen
Yeah.
consoles. I'd rather just stream everything, like I use Amazon and Netflix. So thinking about would it be an annoyance to have to be online if I just wanted to watch a DVD? The truth of the matter is, I probably wouldn't watch a DVD on it. I'd just
Well,
stream something.
what I think is funny is, I mean, even if you don't want it to be on the internet, like you were saying, now internet is just as reliable as power. I mean, it's m most likely you're already on the internet. Like when you just go on your Xbox or PS3, you don't use it, but it's already on. And so I think really, I'm kind of in the middle. I mean, one big difference is we're in America. We have pretty good internet penetration. Could definitely be different in other countries. But this is the same thing they went through with Diablo and StarCraft, and those have sold really well. People complain, but people still bought it, and I think it's been a success overall. And I think
But at the same time, look at what happened with The Sims, though. I mean, they weren't able to handle it, and
but that was different in that. Yeah, that was like they couldn't handle everybody being on there. I don't know if they'll necessarily be utilizing all services at all times. Like, if you turn on your Xbox and you go on a Netflix, you're going on a Netflix server. Sure, you have to sign on, but I don't think Microsoft will have a problem just fixing
that. Is this going to affect indie games, though?
Why would it?
I mean, if you're playing... So you'd be playing on Xbox servers, not game servers, right? Not EA servers or Blizzard servers. How would that work?
I don't think like one big difference between Diablo 3 and StarCraft 2 is Diablo 3, a huge portion of the game was actually on their servers. Like this is one thing. It's pretty much impossible to pirate because so much of it was on the server.
Yeah, yeah.
The only way you can pirate it is if you have a server emulator. With StarCraft 2, it's different. The whole game's on your computer, all that. It just does a check, you know, to make sure you're online, you sign into Battle.net, but the whole game's there. I don't think they're going to put the games online. I mean, that's maybe they will, but if they do, it'll be kind of like Sony using Gaikai and the whole streaming. But that's a whole different thing. But I think games.
Yeah, I don't think Microsoft's going to. I mean, that would be a whole nother service, and then it's an entry to developers, right? It's an entry point. To developers to have enough money to pay Microsoft to host their games on their own servers. I don't think that's a business model Microsoft wants to get into. It's going to be, you know, if you choose to have an online game like SimCity, then it's on your servers, and you just, you know, you're going to pay to develop it and publish it through Microsoft or whatever, but I don't see them hosting games on their own servers. That would be nuts. That's asking for trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them. I mean, I don't think it would take too much bandwidth or whatever to check to make sure they sign in.
Yeah.
Because that kind of already happens. But, I agree that.
I mean, my TV is always connected to the internet.
Yeah.
So it is now.
I think what Sean was saying earlier, I kind of agree. Like, I think we kind of just talked ourselves into agreeing that for us three, it wouldn't make a big difference. But there's probably a lot of people out there where
Sean's internet cuts out all the time, though. So I mean, if you
only when we're podcasting.
But I mean, how much would it suck if you were playing Skyrim and you beat all these, you know, dragons, and then you just get disconnected for whatever reason, and then you have to start over again?
Well, a lot of that plays into implementation. How, like, if you get knocked offline, does that mean your game shuts down, or is it you have to be online when you start? And this is actually another thing with the cloud saving. I was watching a live stream of the end of BioShock during that time, and the cloud saving messed up. And so every time you got to a new area, it tried to auto-save, but it said the cloud saving was messed up, all that stuff. So that stuff is there, but I don't think that's – I think that's fixable. I think like I think that's something you can get past. To me, I feel like the bigger problem is places that don't have good internet connections. Like, and I think, well, to me, even more than that, I think they have to sell to the public why this is better than not having it. Like how, and I don't want to get, well, we'll get into this a little bit later, but how they're going to integrate TV into it or something like that. What are they going to do with it? Why, what's the advantage of having it always on?
Let me run through some of the other, because this is related, some of the other rumors that were supposedly confirmed or disproven today. Supposedly there's going to be a cheaper version of the Xbox that is just for entertainment. So I think it was going to cost around like $300, and it's going to be kind of like that, where it just integrates with it. I think it plays the role of your cable box, and it integrates a whole layer on top of whatever you're watching. But apparently that's not happening, or at least not anytime soon. The price is supposedly coming out in November for $500, which is, I think, a decent price. I was expecting more, because I think you were talking about this. PS3 was, what, $600 when it came out?
Yeah, but I think people were pretty annoyed, because that was That was kind of high. Although I don't know.
Yeah, and it was a slow to get off the shelves. I mean, people weren't picking it up at $600.
Yeah,
even just with a Blu-ray player,
Yeah. All right, so let's run through. Let's do this top five now while we're on the subject. Josiah, do you want to go first?
Sure. My top five is probably disappointing, but these are top five things that I want to see in a next-gen console, and I'm the old man in the bunch, so my priorities are probably a little bit different. But number one, I want to see some kind of high-fidelity motion control, which they've kind of hinted at, like something like Kinect 2 or whatever. I've seen these demos of Leap Motion, and the level of detail on that motion sensor is pretty amazing. But from what I've read, you know, it's got a range of maybe a foot. So obviously, if you're in the living room, with your game console or whatever, you probably maybe 5-6 feet away from it. Maybe even 10-15 feet away from it, depending on your living room, that sort of thing. So I want to see high-fidelity motion control at a distance. Better search, because I think it's a given that you're going to be using this to search for games in a marketplace. You're going to be using it to search for video content, that sort of thing. So built some kind of built-in voice recognition and some kind of typing on the controller itself. You know, I know they've got like Xbox Smart Glass and stuff like that, where you can put an app on your phone and use that to as another input device. But I want it kind of just built into the system. I don't want to have to put the game controller down, pick up my phone, and swap things out. So some kind of better text input. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Have you seen the for Google TV? I think it was a Logitech review, or maybe it was a Sony one. The controller that was like, it looked like a Jaguar controller, and it had a whole keyboard on it.
Yeah,
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I want. No, I mean, it. You know, you could do it with a touch sensitive. It'd be a really expensive controller, but the brilliance of a touch sensitive device is that you can change the screen, right? Like all our smartphones have a touch-sensitive keyboard, and you can change the keyboard layout. So it'd be more expensive, but it's an option. Anyhow, number three on the list is better online stores. So this is not necessarily just a Microsoft thing. This is a publisher thing. And, you know, the egos of EA and Steam and Valve and all those guys, they've got to kind of figure out who's going to get paid what. But bottom line is, I don't want to have to wait 2-3 years to be able to download a game. You know, Rob convinced me I needed to play Mass Effect 3 a couple months ago, and I it was on my list. I wanted to play it really badly, but I just didn't want to go to a store and buy it. I wanted to download it, and that's part of the reason why I hadn't played it yet. And to this day, I still can't download it. I had to go
on the console. On the console, you're saying?
Yeah. So I want better online stores. Basically, same day physical release, same day download release. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. I'd need Microsoft to kind of pull that off. Number four, I would probably want to use this a lot more as a media center. Right now, I've got a computer hooked up to my TV. But like I said, if they figure out that piece of text input so I can do better searching, etc., then I'd want to use this as a media center. So I'd hope that they'd keep it open for third-party apps like Netflix, Amazon, maybe HBO Go, that sort of thing. Keep that. And another part of being a good media center, it sounds silly, but it's got to be quiet. You know, when I stick a disc in my Xbox, it starts whirling like Mach 5, and it's ridiculous. So quiet, better media center features. And lastly, I think this is probably a given, but it's got to be able to run 4K or whatever is going to be kind of the TV standard in another 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I say specifically 3 or 4 years because the Xbox 360 came out in, what, like 2005?
Yeah.
And I bought one. Yeah. I bought an Xbox 360 and an HD TV at the same time. like I upgraded my living room at the same time. So I figure in 3-4 years, I'm going to do the same again, buy a new TV, and I wanted to, you know, I want that console to be able to play games at that level of fidelity. So that's my top five.
Nice. Sean, you want to go or you want me to go?
Oh, well, just to quickly comment, I like your list. And I think a couple things on your list are definite. I think digital distribution is a definite. I think that's something they have to focus on. 4K, I think, is at least a minimum for Sony. I mean, that's huge. They have to.
Yeah.
But I like with the controller. I mean, actually, they're similar to mine. But the controller, search is something I didn't think about. But it's interesting because you really are going over multiple services. That's I think that's interesting, and I think it's a cool aspect because search has become such a big deal. Like every single OS, you have a whole search button, just a bar to search your whole computer.
Right.
You have all these services. Like I don't want to have to go into Netflix and find out it's not there, but it's on Hulu or something like that. If you could just search it and it just tells you, hey, it's here. And it's you can play it this way. I mean, that'd be so much better.
Yeah, and you know, the idea to me of having a QWERTY keyboard pop up on the screen and then me tabbing, you know, five times over so I can hit the T button and then tab down. That's from Nintendo first generation. You know, Famicom like 1988. I don't understand how that still exists in you know the 21st century.
I guess smart glasses trying to fix that though.
Yeah, it is a better solution by far, but you know, like I said, I don't want to have to switch devices and put one down and pick one up. It should just work seamlessly.
Well, and that's the thing about Microsoft. Like, I think they're the king of good ideas, but they like smart glass sounds cool, but I don't really know what it's done yet. And there's something like, well, I don't want to get into it, but like the
tablet. It's on my list. Don't worry.
So like, you know, like they had the tablet years ago, but they just didn't do it the right way. But well, that's something else. But I think they have some cool ideas, but I want to see if they can just get it done. But I like your list though. Like, it goes into something else I want to talk about when I go over my list. I guess I'll go next.
Go ahead.
So I'll admit mine's a little bit more. Game heavy at the top. So the first thing I want to see is better storytelling. I think BioShock Infinite to some degree has raised the bar. Some indie games have done some really cool things, but I think, I don't know.
Is this in any particular order? Is that number one, number five?
I put it in an order, but realistically it's not in a particular order. So, but anyway, better storytelling. I just think like gamers are getting more mature. They want smarter ideas that, you know, we see all these great movies, great television shows, all these other forms of entertainment, and I feel like gaming is still kind of lagging, and we've kind of accepted it. We're like the action movie for everything kind
of
thing.
So we're at Call of Duty, what, 8, and everybody's still buying all of them?
And, like, I'm okay with that if there's also, like, I'm okay with that so long as there's also the BioShock Infinite, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So there's room for both, but there has to be both. The second thing, and I guess this one I kind of just threw out there, is graphical fidelity. I don't know where it's going. It's clearly, one thing I've seen is it's not going to be the same thing as PS2 and Xbox to Xbox 360 and PS3. The biggest difference there was they went from standard definition to high definition. And right now, the new things they're doing before 4K comes out is all, they're all special effects, like, you know, ambient occlusion and really high levels of anti-aliasing and all smoke and lighting and HDR. Like, it's all
Don't forget the grass of Crysis.
No, I know. And so it's all about adding the little effects. It's not like, you know, bigger textures. I mean, they've gotten pretty good at that. But it's not as noticeable.
You know, one thing I'd like to see, I still see it. You know, there's still a lot of clipping.
Yeah,
and I know it's not necessarily like a technical hardware thing. It's just, I hate to say it, but lazy coders to some effect. But I still see a lot of clipping in games, and you know, just anatomical models that, you know, their postures and stuff like that when they're running just doesn't look right in a lot of different games. Some games nail it, but a lot of games it's still kind of just not reaching the mark. And facial expressions and stuff like that. Yeah. I know, you know, you've got some games like L.A. Noire that kind of try to build their reputation on that, but still a lot of games just it's the acting, kind of the digital acting, just still isn't there because of body language, facial features, that sort of thing. And if you're talking about better storytelling, then you know that's something that they need to nail.
I actually think on that, I think the increased power of the consoles will make a huge difference. Because one thing I've noticed, so obviously Crysis is an example of it, just looks gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And one reason why I think you can do that is, I mean, it's a pretty big world, but it's not gigantic. And I've been recently playing Skyrim, and Skyrim, the world is gigantic. But if you look at anything close up, it clearly looks like a sprite, or it looks like a low-res texture. Because, right. I mean, it's generating an entire world.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, a perfect example is L.A. Noire, where you pointed out that their facial expressions are, you know, they spent time on that. And I feel like if you have enough power, you can create a bigger world that also has its facial expressions. And, I mean, it costs money, don't get me wrong.
So. Right.
But, you know, more people are buying games. I mean, so maybe it'll just get better and better. But you're right. I think that's a huge part of better storytelling as well. One thing that I will say, I'm not totally a graphics guy. Like, I'll still play old games if they're fun. But I have found there's certain games that just have to have a certain level of graphical fidelity, BioShock being one of them. BioShock, if you're not in the atmosphere, it doesn't feel as cool. And actually, I tried to go back and play System Shock, which is a classic, and mm-hmm. it's hard for me to play because it's so blocky. Like, at no point was I scared, even though you're in space and you could die.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like, it was just, it felt blocky, so I think that'll be really important. That's how it plays in. But anyway, enough on that. I think the other thing kind of getting to with you is the input. I think there has to be something new and cool with the input. Oculus Rift is one really cool thing. Maybe Oculus Rift with the Kinect. I think that could be really cool. And yeah. I think they have to find a way to make it useful. Kinect still really hasn't done much. I don't feel like...
Well, there's been no support from games. I mean, no good game has come out to support... to connect, really.
Well, and I wonder, is that because no one wants a supporter or because no one has a good idea? Because they sold millions of those things. Like, it sold pretty well. So, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I feel like people have pretty good ideas, so maybe I'm wrong. And Leap is really cool, you're right, but same problem. It's so, I think I read it's an 8 cubic foot space. So 2x2x2.
Okay.
And it's literally like nothing. I mean, if you want to sit on your couch, you'd have to put the Leap on your lap.
Right.
You
right.
know? And you're not going to move that around. But that's another one. Number four, actually, this alludes right to what you were saying, Josiah, better TV integration. And I know they want to do this, but the video games are their way into your living room, and connecting with the TV, connecting with Hulu, Netflix, all that stuff is really. I think that's going to be really important, making sure it's good. And the last thing, more Dark Souls.
Oh, my God.
More of it, death.
That game sucks. I hate that game.
I hate that game. It's because you're bad at games. I said it.
I'll take you on in pretty much anything, so...
Not Dark Souls.
Yeah, well, you can't take each other on in that.
And yeah, you actually can.
You can, yeah.
But yeah, it's not
fine. Playing apart. Pick any other game.
Okay.
All right. So, I guess I'll run through. I don't have any comments for your list. It was good. Just, do you have any comments? I mean, a lot of it's overlapping, and mine covers a lot of what you just said too. So let me just run through mine quick. Number five, I'm going to go from least to greatest importance to me. Number five would be upgradable, which is something we haven't seen in consoles before, but I think would be really interesting. And obviously, it doesn't make sense in in Sony or Microsoft's eyes because they want to sell you a new box every so often. But I mean, this one was, what, 8 years since the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, but you know what? I think they took care of that with the Red Ring of Death because I had to upgrade to the new smaller box when mine died.
Huh.
That's a joke, Rob.
Yeah, okay. anyway. But no, I mean, so my PC is obviously always going to stay ahead of whatever console is, and I would like to see that change. Like, or maybe there would be different levels of the system that you could get where some, you know, you could buy a $1,000 Titan Run system or, you know, something lower.
With USB 3, that's an option, right? You could do kind of an external... plug-in or something like that. You wouldn't have to open up the case.
You could get the box, Sean.
I know. I mean, side note, though, the idea of having an external GPU, it's actually a mainstream, like, Intel wants to do this. I don't know how popular it would be. The thing I have is kind of a do-it-yourself, like some Taiwanese company just makes the parts for it. But Thunderbolt and all that stuff, Intel, yeah. Like, when they did it, this one of the things they want to do is have an external GPU. I don't know how popular it'll be. I mean, this is a very niche thing, but yeah, that's one of the reasons why they did it. So it'll happen.
So yeah, so that's number five. Number four would be cross-platform. So I mean, what's so funny?
Oh, you mean cross-platform within Microsoft's ecosystem?
Both. So I think one. Wow. Well, okay, no. So I'll say. For this, yeah. So I obviously they're pushing smart glass, and I think that needs to become a huge part of the Xbox, especially now that they're trying to promote the surfaces, promote the mm-hmm. tablets, promote yeah. Windows 8. So I think that needs to be a huge thing. And I don't remember, but the Dreamcast had the VMU, the little the saving chip, but you could play games on there, like mini games that were somewhat related to the games, kind of, not really. But anyway, my point is, it would be cool to see apps come out related to the games that you're playing. So, I mean, I can't play 14-hour binge sessions anymore like when we were younger, except for that one League of Legends day. But, but I mean, you know, most of us don't have the time to do that anymore, and it's, you know, I miss being able to do that. And it would be cool to have some element of that game accessible outside of when you're actually playing that game. So I think EA Sports might have a couple companion apps for their games where you could fool around with lineups or things like that.
Hmm.
But that's cool. It'd be cool to have mini games that you could play on a phone or tablet where you unlock content within the game itself.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, like Fable 2 had this little mini game that you could download from Xbox Live, where it's like just basically gambling that you could do, different types of gambling games. And then you'd make any money that you made in the gambling game
you'd get in the game.
Show up in the real storyline.
That's I think they cool. came out with a golf game too, didn't they? A mini golf?
maybe.
I don't think that was related though. All right, number three is more social gaming. So, and this is probably more just for me, and I need to change the games that I'm playing or the way that I'm playing games. But I miss the days where, and I'm going to write a piece about this for the site. But I miss the days where we used to all come together and play games on a couch. And that doesn't happen anymore. Like now everyone pretty much has their own system and you go and, you know, you play alone and you might be talking to each other over the microphone. But I don't feel like people don't get together anymore. And I think part of it's because most games you can only play one person online at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had this issue with COD in the early days where you could only play two people. Well, they just brought in two people online, which has changed it. But there's usually, you know, three or four of us and we hang out on a weekend. And to have to take turns still, I think is kind of dumb for me.
Yeah, I think the exception to that was, music games like GarageBand and Rock Band and so forth, and you know that kind of blew up, and then it kind of faded out.
And it made a lot of sense because you kind of want the energy of the other people around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine playing Rock Band and you're all at different houses.
That's like, what I mean, yeah. I mean, I miss that social experience. And taking from my PAX East experience, so Eon Altar has this one, I won't go into it too much, but essentially it's bringing pen and paper Dungeons and Dragons type games, but making it digital, but still encouraging people to have their own device and all play off of one central device. And I mean, again, it's just one of these smaller ideas that hopefully will pick up and you'll have more people getting together and playing again.
That sounds cool. I want to see it, yeah.
All right. Number two is, we already talked about this, but peripheral device support. And I mean, obviously the Rift, the Oculus Rift and the Omni treadmill that they're making for it, for me, like, I will pay obscene amounts of money for those things. Like, I don't even want to go into how much I'll pay, but if they can pull that off and they can make an experience where you're actually running around and fully immersed into the game itself with the VR goggles, I mean, that I'm sold. Like, if any system has support, I know it's going to be supported for PC games, but if there's support for Xbox and not Sony or vice versa, that would sell it for me. I would absolutely choose the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, assuming this is they, you know, that they deliver on all the promises that they're making right now, but I'm just so excited. And even, you know, with the Kinect and other devices. I mean, what was that, the Move, the wand that Sony had was absolute garbage.
Is it garbage because you don't like the idea or because they didn't execute right?
I just think that the Kinect was so much better.
Yeah.
I heard the Move worked well.
I think the idea of this is that you don't need a controller anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Way far, but I mean, it's essentially like the Wii, right? I mean, it's another wand that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and also that, which goes along with that, is I already talked about, you know, using Smart Glass and having other devices work with the thing. Number one, Sean already covered, but it's
better. Dark Souls.
No, absolutely not. That is not on my list. Better story in games. I think BioShock obviously set a new bar for a lot of people. But it's not only so much that you're making a better quality games, but you're making an experience instead of a game, right? So you're completely immersed in this world.
Dark Souls. Skyrim.
I hate you so much. Skyrim, yeah. But BioShock did so much better than Skyrim, I think, at creating characters. Well, obviously, they created characters in a storyline that you were actually engaged in and cared about. Yeah. I think Mass Effect did pretty well with creating characters and a plot where you actually cared about the outcome of the story. But to Sean's point, I mean, if you could scale it up to something at the level of Skyrim where you just have pretty much an endless environment, and then you pull in, you know, the Omni treadmill and the glasses, and you know, if I could walk around Skyrim and I can hold, like, two things as a sword that and a shield.
And also, I'm saying, all day just swinging.
All nerds, there would no longer be fat nerds. I wouldn't have to go to the gym anymore or go running. I would just be like, hey, I'm gonna go play Xbox for a few hours, and then
I'm going to Tamriel.
It would take you like 3 days to be able to run across the map to the other side. It'd be nuts. Like,
yeah, imagine
so
with World
crazy.
Of Warcraft, you'd see everybody going like 10 feet, and for some reason everyone stops after 10 feet. Dungeons would never
let me catch my breath, bro.
Yeah, but it would just add another element to the game that would be so much cooler. Like, I like to be active. I play sport. I mean, imagine something like a sports game like, you know, FIFA or Madden or NBA, where you could actually run around and more or less participate in the sport. I mean, that's wild to me.
Yeah, it would be weird though, because, you know, you obviously won't be able to slide tackle. You won't be able to, you know, launch the ball. And
I'll
stuff
try.
Like that.
I'll just go into my TV when I do.
Only certain parts of the metaphor will carry over.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So it'll be some kind of weird hybrid thing where you're running and then you're still pressing a button to kick or something.
Right. Like, I mean, it's not, obviously it's going to take a little time, but I mean, considering where VR has gone in the past and how much it's just completely bombed in every attempt, to something, a product that is not only going to be, I think, affordable for a lot of people, but is just making promises that is everything that we've ever dreamed of.
Yeah, I think it
at
has
least
a
for
lot
me,
of
you guys can make fun, but like that will be sitting in my living room in front of my TV as soon as it comes out.
All right, well, the old man has to go do old man grown-up things, so I have to sign off, but thanks
just to
for
prove
me
that we actually have real lives outside of what we do. Well, Josiah does. I don't know about Sean and I.
But thanks for letting me chat with you guys for a little bit, and I'll catch up with you later.
All right. See you next week, man.
So, all
right. Where are we going from here?
Well, a couple notes on what you talked about. So the last thing you mentioned was peripherals. I totally agree, and I know, I mean, it's kind of repeating, but it, to me, it's all dependent on execution. I mean, the thing is, so Oculus, I actually, from what we've seen, I have no doubt it's going to look good. I think it's going to impress people.
But you need the developer support from
that's what I was going to say. It's all really based on the games.
Right.
It's unlikely you're going to get a game that you can play on the controller and you can play on the Rift and have the same experience. I mean,
You're right. And even with the treadmill, a lot of the games, they did have a, I forget what model of the gun that they were using in the demo videos for the treadmill, but it tracked, so you could actually look in one direction and track the gun in another one, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
And it's kind of funny how much we take that for granted in the games that we play now, but you're always looking and aiming in the same direction. Yeah. And until they pointed that out, I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. You can't shoot the other direction.
I thought about that, and that's definitely true, but I think it's important, but it doesn't have to be that different. And that, like, no one's shooting like this, but it does, you can, like, go like this. So, right, yeah. So I guess it has to move around a bit. But, I think that's important. And I'm interested to see where they're going to go. I think the great thing is, I mean, you see some pretty big names that are
signing
the Oculus Rift, like, what's his name from Epic, who just left? I can't believe I forgot his name. Well, a huge, really important game designer from Epic. You have the guy who did the Wing Commander series. You have the,
Id Software is on.
Yeah, Id is really backing. I mean, John Carmack was there from the beginning.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen some of the videos that some people who got the dev kit, I mean, they've only had it for like a couple weeks, right?
Didn't they just get
it shipped out? And they're already, I've seen ports for Half-Life,
yeah.
Mirror's Edge, which actually looked really cool, Team Fortress. And Team Fortress, actually, they got the Omni treadmill to work with it too. So you can, and right now I think they have it so you can do a walking speed, a sprinting speed, and you can jump.
Yeah, I was going to say the one thing, so Mirror's Edge would be cool. There's still problems though. The problem is you can't have a game that fast. Like, Team Fortress is pretty much that older style, like Quake 3, where you run around. And you just, if you're going that fast, it's going to hurt your head. Mirror's Edge would be very cool.
Only the weak, Sean. It'll only hurt the weak. That's how we'll weed out future gamers.
They made a point because when you play a game, I don't know how they calculate it, so I don't know if it's a real thing, but many games you're going about 30 miles an hour, which you can't run 30 miles an hour.
Some of us can, yeah.
No, actually, random note, I think Usain Bolt ran at 26 miles an hour. So,
John, I don't know if you remember, there was a game for, I think it was NES, but there was actually a pad that you used to run on.
Yeah, yes.
And there was an Olympic game where you had to sprint against a guy named Cheetah. And I'm pretty sure he ran like 50 miles an hour during that game. And I beat him. So I'm just saying, some of us are ready for this. Yeah, hell yeah, beat you. You put a chair down, and then you hold it, and then you just run while you're holding the chair.
I can picture.
Rafi taught me that trick.
But either way, yeah, it's really – I heard some cool ideas. I think I was telling you about they were talking about how when they were demoing the Oculus Rift, they would tell people to go to the edge of a cliff.
Yeah,
and then they would hit forward. And then they would fall off the cliff and just to see their reaction. Like, and somebody talked about a game where one player would be a giant person and one player would be tiny. And the giant person would pick them up and flick them. And just the feeling of being this little tiny person.
Well, did you see the video of that 9-year-old grandma using it? It's wild, man.
You felt like she's in Tuscany. And it wasn't even like that good of graphics.
I mean, I know this isn't related, but Josiah and I do another ed technology podcast for part of the job that we have. And it's interesting just talking about the virtual reality. I mean, not even in a game sense, but having the treadmill and the goggles and being able to pretty much go anywhere in the world or space or, like, you know, anything you can come up with.
I mean, they've even talked about using it in mental health, like helping out with PTSD.
I heard about that, yeah.
But, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it's really – apparently, like, I don't think it's really our generation. It's a little more Josiah's and people of that age, but – and the age where VR was big in like the mid-90s, Virtual Boy, there were all those headsets, I don't even know what they're called. And for a lot of people, it was like a dream that went down the toilet when you actually tried it. And so a lot of those people are in the age where they're like, holy crap, this actually works. And they're so excited from it. And then we're excited just because it's so cool.
Yeah, I told you, I will pay so much. And it sounds like both the treadmill and the Rift are going to be like 700 or 800 together, or maybe 900 tops, which is really, I mean, it's not that much when you think about it, what it's actually capable of.
I mean,
I would pay twice that to get that experience.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's still like, I guess when you think of it in terms, I mean, on one end, laptops usually cost more than that. On the other end, like, you know, an iPad is considered a pricey thing. And at the cheap end, it's $500. So it depends. I mean, it's all about the games. I mean, if they can make cool
games. No, it's true. That's absolutely true.
But I actually think the Oculus will have more traction, pun not intended, than the Omni treadmill. But I totally understand the competition.
Right.
What I expect more is Oculus with Kinect. But, I mean, that's also, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be interesting if Microsoft or Sony buys Oculus. I don't think it'll happen.
But I don't think so. I think that's going to be a big thing, like I said earlier, is that if one of them, Sony or Microsoft, get the Rift kind of exclusive to them, that would absolutely sell whichever system to me.
Well, yeah, because they need it. You can tell how they're trying to differentiate. Like, in the back in the day, it was always differentiated on games. Like, you bought an Xbox, you got Halo. You got a PS2, you got Grand Theft Auto and Final Fantasy. Now, they're all cross-platform.
Right,
publisher. I mean, there's no reason to lose money. They can spend and get so much. So now they're differentiating on other things. Sony has talked about, like, you know, the share button, which we'll get into more a little bit later.
Yeah.
But the other thing is their whole streaming idea and stuff like that. I think Microsoft made a huge move when they put out the Kinect, and they clearly beat Sony in that regard, but they both tried it. Like, they're all trying to do something different. So who knows? I mean, maybe I don't think it's impossible if they could buy Oculus. I don't know if Oculus would want to sell. I mean, people are about money, but it seems like Palmer Luckey is. I mean, he did it because he wanted to. He didn't.
Right.
He's literally a guy who's just like, I want to do this. So we will see.
Like, I mean, hopefully, ideally, you would be able. Obviously, PC it'll have developers for, but hopefully, you'll be able to use it. No matter what system you're using, right?
Yeah, or
what
that's the worst. I mean, if they can build it up, that's nice. Like Kinect, I mean, Kinect 2 is going to come out, and the only reason why this stuff is happening because they have Microsoft dollars behind it. But at the same time, it kind of sucks. You buy a PS3, kind of, you know, SOL. And it's not like Blu-ray is different in that Blu-ray is now going to be on both systems.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was only on one. But it's not going to be a standard like that. So, well, we'll see. But
all right, let's move on. We got a few more things to talk about. We're running out of time.
Two things I just want to say.
All right, go ahead.
So your two bottom points, what you want to say about gaming systems, you want something that was upgradable, and there's one other thing you said. What was your fourth
thing? It was the cross-platform part of it.
Oh, yeah. Cross-platform meaning, like, between Xbox and PS3?
Yeah. I mean, part of it, yeah.
Just one thing, I hope, but I can't imagine that ever happening.
Well, Defiance, the MMO, supposedly is doing that, and I think they have separate servers now, but ideally, when I first read about it, it was going to be Xbox, PS3, and PC all together.
Hey, I mean, Dreamcast did it. You could play Quake 3 against PC.
That's why it was the best system ever created.
Although you get destroyed, but yeah, I think it'd be cool. I don't see them doing it ever. The upgradable thing is very cool. I think one reason why they don't, and this is the thing that makes consoles unique, even though you can't upgrade it, it's the same system. So they can, the phrase is they can write direct to metal. So when a game developer develops a game, they can make it specifically for the system. Whereas
right, yeah.
They have to do all these other things. They have to have all these, I mean, the whole reason why
But it's running off of x86 now. I mean, it's looking more and more like PCs. I know there's going to be some parts that are specific to the system still.
Well,
but I mean, it seems like it's moving in the direction where it's going to become more and more like a PC.
Kind of, but the original Xbox was a PC. That's all it was. It was literally a PC in a box. That's what it did, and that was one of the things. So it's not like they haven't done it before, but the reason why Crysis 3 can even though it looks worse, the fact that it can be on a PS3 and Xbox, which are really garbage by today's standards, is because they can program specifically for that. And that's, I think, the one big advantage consoles have, and why there's no, like, whenever you install a PC game, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
I think upgradable might work, but it might be something people shy away from just because they don't want to deal with multiple devices. This is actually one thing Android is going through. Every person who makes a game for Android has to make it scalable because they have to deal with, you know, 1080p screens, 720p, QHD, like QVGA. I mean, it's ridiculous. But the iPhone, all you got to do is deal with, you know, the 940 screen on the 4, the whatever 640 screen on the 3GS and below, and then the top one. And Windows Phone, the same thing. They have a standard. So, I don't know. We'll see.
But, that's true. That's very true.
enough of that. One thing that's kind of related that I wanted to talk about was they revealed a little bit more about the PlayStation controller, what they want to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear what do you think about the controller? It's pretty different. I mean,
I mean the core of it though really isn't that different to me. I mean, it's still the same buttons you're using, right? I mean, I guess it's going to feel a little bit differently. They have the light. That's kind of cool. But I don't see how it's – we could talk about the share button, but I think that's more the console than the actual controller, right? And I think it's – the idea of it's pretty cool where you can just take screenshots and clips and stuff. So when I get a headshot on you in Call of Duty, I can just be like, oh, hey, Sean, right to your Facebook. Yeah. You watch this as many times as you want. But I don't know. The core of the controller, though, didn't seem all that much different to me. Maybe I missed something.
Well, yeah, I mean, the regular things, I don't think they want to push it too far. One thing with the light, to me, actually looks kind of silly. It's the first thing you notice, but it just seems so...
Well, so the one thing I thought was cool was that if you hand the controller off, yeah, if you switch places, it changes where your split-screen position is. So that's actually pretty cool.
So I definitely think that's cool. And that obviously, if they're doing that, and I think they mentioned that obviously means it has a lot of motion tracking tech in it, because clearly that's what they are. I wonder how they would do it. Like, literally, would your screen just pop over? And also, I wonder how they would change, like, in a lot of games, if you're the third player, I say it's four players split screen, but you only have three players, the bottom player gets the whole bottom screen. And I wonder if you move around.
That's true, yeah.
The share thing, you're right. I mean, it's more of the system, but it's interesting. I wonder how it's going to be. Like, it's cool, but I could see a lot of ways in which it could fail. First way being, when you hit the share button, what happens? If you're in a multiplayer game, do you go out of the game into a video editor mode? I mean, obviously, I mean, I doubt they would do that. It could be really...
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, we'll have to see how it's implemented. I'm sure they'll show it off at E3. I mean...
Yeah, I hope. And then video editing, if it's clunky, like, I'm sorry, but they've gotten better, but the PS3 interface is horrible. I think they're getting better, like, they're molding it more like PlayStation Store, so it'll look better, but if they do a bad job with video editing and video uploading, I think Call of Duty did a decent job. You can do that now, so maybe they'll be fine. I think, you know, if they have a connection to YouTube, I think that'll be huge. But if they have, like, some crappy video player or something, and it's all...
Didn't they say it's going to be Ustream?
Oh, is it? Okay, well,
I think so,
or they could even partner with Twitch TV. So that one big thing with execution. The one other big thing, I just don't understand it, and they've done it since the PSP, the touchpad.
Yeah.
They did it with the PSP. It's on the back of it, and I don't understand it. You have to take your hand off to touch it. Like, you can't... It'd just be too hard to do while you're playing. And I even, in the video, they showed it. Like, they said you could scroll through.
Yeah, it's, like you said, though, I mean, who's going to take your hand? What game would you take your hand off the controller in order to fool around with that?
Yeah, even in the PSP, the one thing they did was that was better, but I don't even know if anyone, it was useful, is that it's on the back. So you'll be holding the controller, and you can use your back fingers. But even then, it seems silly, but it's better than it being on
the back. I guess you could use it for, like, in-game mini-game type things, like, I don't know, a maze.
Well, I assume it's going to be a mini-game, kind of like the DS, maybe. But you know what's funny, too? So the video, this was obviously, it's like a professionally Sony video. It wasn't like GameSpot or IGN. Like, this was a PR video. When I saw him using the thing, every time he did it, you could hear him, and his palm was hitting the right analog.
Yeah.
So I'm like, clearly, but it has to be, I mean, they're putting it right in the middle. This has to be some ploy. They got to use it for something, and I don't know what they want to use it for, and that's kind of weird. But everything else, I think it, I don't know how to explain it, but I think it looks really good. I prefer the Xbox style triggers more than shoulders, but overall, like, the look of it, I don't even know how to explain it. It just looks good. I think it's going to be solid in other ways.
Yeah, I mean, I had my PS3 before the Xbox, so I'm more inclined to prefer the PlayStation controller over the Xbox, and like we said, I mean, it really doesn't change too much of it, so I'm sure it'll feel mostly the same, and I would imagine Xbox isn't going to radically change their controller either.
It's probably going to be the same thing.
Yeah, so...
And actually, I think, yeah, I think the biggest difference between the controllers is triggers. Although I think PS3 has kind of gotten close to the Xbox, where the PS3, the L2 and R2 were bigger, and they were more extended out. Like, in the PS2, I think it was still this way, right? Where the R2 and R1 were kind of the same size. But one thing I really like about the Xbox controller is giant triggers. It's great for guns.
Well, the PS3 controller's like that. The size is different.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. So they're kind of going, and I always like triggers rather than just another button. But, I mean, that's another thing. I mean,
all will be revealed at E3, man, in a few months.
When is E3? June?
June, I think, yeah.
Okay, well, so that's a lot of video gaming news. There's some news on the OS front. So there's more detail about those 8.1, the kind of update to Windows. One big thing, I think you can fill us in on a little more of the details, but one thing, they're bringing back the start button.
Yes.
I don't think this is a big change in terms of usability, but I think it's a big change in terms of what they're trying to say. And they've specifically said they're adding a mode where you can go straight to desktop.
Right. It's kind of like going back on what originally it seemed like. So Windows 8 basically seemed like a segue between what 7 was and what we've seen up until now, where you have the traditional desktop, where Windows 9 would be all Metro or Tiles, whatever they call it now. And now they're kind of saying, okay, well, clearly people aren't really liking this whole idea of not having. I think it's going to make it easier for people to adopt Windows 8. And I think a lot of people were hesitant not to because it didn't have the desktop and start menu that they were used to seeing and have known for so long. So I think it'll go a ways into that. But again, like you said, I mean, it's kind of like balking now, right? I mean, they're kind of saying, okay, well, this didn't really work out how we wanted to, so we're going to go back to how it was.
I think, I mean, to me, this goes back into my biggest criticism of Microsoft is execution. I seriously love the Metro idea, the tiles. Android never knew how to do design. And Google's getting better. Google, I think the newer apps are getting better, but clearly it just didn't have it. And by the way, I think Microsoft has never had a design sense. I think when Windows 7 was a good design, and in my opinion, a lot of it looked really cheap. But man, when I saw Metro, like when I saw it on the Zune, and then I saw it, like, it just looks great. But there's still, like, there's, to me, as a Windows user, they haven't proven the use case. Why would just using Live Tiles be more powerful? I love it on a tablet. I think it works great on a tablet. But I'm not convinced on a desktop.
So on my tablet, I will say I go back and forth between Metro and Aero pretty quickly and consistently. Like, it's about 50-50 that I use.
What do you use on Aero? Like, what?
Office still. I still use it for Office. I use it for, well, they used to, before this update, you couldn't watch some Flash videos on the Metro side, but now they kind of fixed that, so that's not an issue. But mostly, you know, Office, word processing, Excel, things like that.
Dude, Office is funny because it's like that weird Trojan horse in that, I mean, I don't think people realize how important Office is, specifically Office. I mean, there are so many open offices out there. There's this Chinese knockoff that they made for Linux. Apple has their own suite. Coral, who makes like WordPerfect and stuff, I think they're still making it. Google Docs, everything. Office is still the standard. And like the one main reason why I can't switch to Linux is because they don't have Office.
Sure.
And so it's such a weird thing that you would think would keep people stuck to an operating system, but it's definitely there. But I think with the Flash thing, I think they can fix.
Right, and they did. You
know, they can fix that. Office, I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, I guess
I think Office is keeping a lot of people in Microsoft, to be honest with you. And I think, like, I mean, for you, you're a good example. If it wasn't for Office, then you probably would switch over to something else.
But, and I think, well, the funny thing is, since Office is on the Mac, I'm sure that's also helped people switch over to Mac. Mm-hmm. But it also, you know, Microsoft gets to sell more licenses. So.
So I also, just go back to your earlier question, I also do file browsing on the...
Really? Is that really hard?
On the Aero side.
But how? Like, I feel like it's so... You have to be...
No, it's bad, because you can magnify it to 150%, so they're bigger tiles.
I'll be totally honest, that's the one thing I would hate, file browsing.
It's not that bad, to be honest. I haven't had really any issues. And then, I forgot the most important thing. I use Notepad on the desktop side, or on the Aero side.
Okay, all right, we gotta explain a story. So Rob likes to keep statistics. We're both huge football fans. Whatever, English football.
Soccer.
No, soccer. Rob likes to keep statistics, right? Now, at his day job, he is an Excel whiz. Like, that's what he does. And he uses more advanced software, like SPSS and stuff. But he knows Excel. He knows ins and outs. This guy, he decides at home for his personal stuff, he's going to record all this stuff on Notepad. And literally, this guy, he didn't use a monospace font, but he still did it. And he would put, you know, the word for whatever he had to say. He would do like 15 spaces and then the number. And he'd line them up. I was like, God. I had nothing to say.
I don't know. It opens faster than Excel does. I have 3 years of how many games I've watched, how many soccer games I've watched on TV, and how many goals have been scored during those games, and how much time I spent watching. Yeah, it's
one day you're gonna accidentally forget to save it, and at least Excel auto saves it. And
they don't have Notepad support for the cloud for SkyDrive.
They don't. That's another.
I don't think so. I don't know. I haven't tried it. I mean, I'm sure you could. You could put it on SkyDrive, but they don't have Office 365. It's not part of that.
I know iOS has some good cloud apps. I don't know. Android has Keep, which you get is part of Google Drive and stuff, but it's still not as fleshed out. Evernote you could totally do, but that's not Notepad. And actually, the one I use on Linux is called Scratch, and it's actually really good because the simplest thing, it auto-saves. Notepad, I always accidentally forget to save it, and then I lose it. Scratch auto-saves it, and also a little thing, it also it does color coding for different types of code, like HTML or, I don't know, C#. That's always useful. But whatever, that's...
All right, so back... All right, we've digressed. So back to the start menu. Interestingly enough, my Samsung Series 9 laptop is not touchscreen, but Samsung put a piece of software included in it. I'm pretty sure it's from Samsung, where if you move your mouse down to the bottom center of the Aero side, a little thing pop, like a widget pops up, and it's got the start menu in it.
Huh.
So... I mean, that's one way that they've circumvented this whole thing. And then I know there's a third-party program that a lot of, like, thousands and probably tens or hundreds of thousands have downloaded that basically just puts the start menu back in.
Yeah.
The toolbar on the bottom.
And they, but, like, the app, the funny thing is that app puts literally the start menu. I should mention, it's only the start button they're adding. When you hit the start button, it'll go to the tile.
So that makes no sense to me. Like,
honestly, I think it's a comfort thing because some people.
Yeah, but you have the Windows key that does the same thing.
True. I honestly just think it's a comfort thing.
Like, why? I don't understand why they wouldn't just put the whole start menu in. Like, that doesn't make any sense. They might as well.
It sounds weird. I mean, this is like the conundrum Microsoft is in. It's like they had the balls to go all out, but it didn't work, and they don't know what to do. And it's funny because I think Microsoft is a pretty conservative company. Like, if you look at Windows XP to Windows 7, there's a lot of core stuff that's pretty much the same. Like, they kept.
Yeah, sure.
So Windows 8 was huge for them. They've never really done something this big. So, I mean, they're in such hot water. If they bring back the start menu, that really, because the whole tile is supposed to be the start menu, right?
Yeah, I guess, but. I don't know.
I mean, I will say one thing, though. To me, as dumb as it sounds, it looks weird to see Internet Explorer at the left-hand corner. Like, that's the left. Like, I just expect.
Yeah, it is. It is strange. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, so on my Surface, I obviously don't have a start menu, and I think with touch, I don't think it's a big deal. But for computers who don't have touch capability, I would want a start menu.
I honestly, like.
And also, I mean, you can just search, right? So if you go to the tile side and you just start typing, it'll just search for everything.
But this,
so, I mean, that kind of gets around.
This gets into the bigger problems, though. You search, and there's two of everything. There's two control panels. There's two Internet Explorers. There's because Metro has an Internet Explorer and Desktop has an Internet
Explorer. Oh, that does, yeah.
And Control Panel, there's isn't there a Control Panel in...
When I open Control Panel, it just goes up to the arrow side.
Even if you do it in the Desktop side?
Yeah, I can try it right now.
Okay, well, either way.
Yeah, it just opens up on the...
That's good. I think originally in one of the earlier builds, there were two, and that's like... But anyway, this gets into... I still feel like I wish... It wouldn't be as ambitious, but I just wish Windows 8 was a tablet, like whatever. They call it Windows Metro or something like that. That's a tablet. And then they had Windows 8, which is just Windows, because I really like it for the tablet. And it's funny because to me, this actually kind of reminds me of what Windows did with tablets and phones back before the iPhone came out. For some reason, they were fixated on this start menu paradigm. They put it on all tablets were just Windows on a tablet, which doesn't make sense for obvious reasons because the input, you're just not as precise with your finger. In addition to that, even worse was Windows Mobile had the start menu, and it's like, it doesn't make sense to have a start menu. It just didn't work, and to me, some of it is that feeling I get where it's like, they're trying to do everything. They want to keep it in this.
They're caught in this limbo now where they're like, okay, well, we don't want to lose people because we don't have the things that they're familiar with, and they're scared to jump to this, and they'll just switch to something else. But at the same time, they're like, oh, we still want to take it in a new direction and start with this fresh, tile interface. And they're just caught now, and I don't think they know what to do. And obviously, this is going, like we said, I mean, it just goes back on what they're trying to do, and I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, one quick interesting thing. Now, I didn't think about this before, but I mean, obviously, this whole start menu or start button, like this is obviously kind of reneging on what they've done. And if you think about it, Sinofsky is gone, so it might be influenced from whoever.
It could,
There was that woman. I forgot who she was, and I don't think she's. I think she's interim. I don't think they've decided on who's going to be the real head of Windows. I don't know, but. I mean, because there were all questions about whether or not Ballmer was going to stay, because who knows, and then Sinofsky was left, he left. So this could be influenced, it could be pushed back from the rest of Microsoft. Hopefully, I mean, from what I heard is that Sinofsky kept Windows close to his chest, he was just trying to keep it as his baby. So hopefully there'll be just more integration. They've already started to do that. I mean, the fact that it's called Xbox Music, I mean, that's a pretty big step in towards making it Xbox centric. So we'll see how Project Glass works out, how they all integrate it. And I mean, they have all the pieces. They have more pieces than Google. They have about the same amount of pieces as Apple. But they have the phone, they have the tablet, they have the computer, they have essentially the TV with the Xbox, and they have video games. Actually, that's the one thing, Apple doesn't have video games. So they have everything, they just need to put it together.
Yep. So I think we're probably over time, right? Or do we have time for one more? What do you think?
Apple stock's not doing good. Okay, we're done.
Yes, but hold on. I will say, though, so since Microsoft has come into the tablet game, well, we should say PC sales are down for Microsoft and for Apple. And tablet sales are obviously going up. But since Microsoft has come in, now they own about 7.5% of the market share, which is a pretty big chunk. And now... Android has been gaining and Apple is falling, which is something I always like to talk about. But I mean, we could probably dive into this more next week, so Josiah can have a chance to defend himself.
No, I think it's interesting. I think one thing also, we haven't heard anything from Apple in a while. I don't know. I mean,
they're stale. They're so stale, man. It's the same thing every time.
It might be, but the reason why they can stay where they are, I think it's changing. It's starting to change. But for so long, I mean, nobody could do better, even though...
Well, they still have the best hardware out of anybody. I mean, that's how it is.
And the one other thing, what was I just going to say? The thing I read, so this is so interesting. Windows revenue was up. And people were kind of questioning, like, how is Windows revenue up? Because they've been specifically talking about how Windows 8 licenses haven't been selling as well as they thought. So from what I understand... enterprise stuff. They're losing support for XP, so then they're buying up the Windows 7 licenses. And there was something else also about the way they did the earnings numbers. they counted the Surface as part of Windows 8, and there was something, I don't exactly understand it, but for some reason they couldn't account for the sales last year, so they got to account for it all in the last quarter of last year or first quarter or something, and so it made it look like Windows is really high up.
It's because we are high up, Sean.
So, like, we'll have to see. I mean, I think Windows 8 is really, it's a tumultuous time for Microsoft and pretty much the whole PC world, which is kind of scary, because if it flips and then Apple's the monopoly, I mean, at least when Microsoft was a monopoly, you had different manufacturers.
In the U.S. It's very different when you're looking at the world.
But I mean, it's gaining. But you're right. You're right. You're right. It's still definitely more U.S. And apparently, China is having a push for Linux.
Who knows? Aren't they? Well, they're big on Android, aren't they? Now?
I don't know about that. Maybe. But I've heard, like, specifically Ubuntu, and they're going to try and make their own distribution, which
That means we got to get a Chinese guy on here to defend his operating system. All right, well, let's wrap this up. Thank you very much for joining us today. I am Rob Stell. You can find me on Twitter at Robbie Stells, Josiah Hills at Josie4628. Sean Thomas is Too Cool for Twitter, which is not his handle, but he's actually Too Cool for Twitter. Comments is block. The website will be launching hopefully the next week as soon as Sean can write his things and we can get going finally. But look for it. We'll put it in the comments. Thank you very much for joining us. See you next week.
Dark Souls.